Alrighty then, hello there. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and the usual Monday night gang here, as we will get ready and... crash. Let me turn that mic down while you're doing that. We'll talk a little football tonight. We've got a lot of football guests lined up. Well, not a lot, but a few. And we also, hopefully, we'll be talking with Gary Larrabee, but I'm not sure about that. Tonight we'll have Kevin Fassett, who is the Ipswich High School football coach. We'll talk with Jim Rudloff, the Marblehead High School football coach. And then we'll also talk with Ryan Nolan, the Danvers High School football coach. And then coming up this weekend on MSO News Sports, we will be broadcasting on Friday night. We will have Lynn Classical at Danvers. And then on Saturday it will be Lynn English at Swampscott. So just we're taking your foot off the pedal a little bit there, Coach. We've certainly been going full speed ahead here for the last 4 weeks.
Well, it's football time in New England, and a lot of games, a lot of good games, a lot of good matchups. The Ipswich Manchester Essex game was a very exciting game on Friday night. Bill and I and Adam Philpott, and Adam, it was his first time with us, and he did an absolute fabulous job, adding a lot of really, really good insights into the game, into the strategy, and looking forward to having him again.
Well, for Thursday and Friday, it was me, Marty Smith, Paul Ingram, and the Goodhue boys. We had Doc Goodhue and his son Ben Goodhue. They were at both games, at the Marblehead game, where Marblehead beat Beverly 30-0. And then on Friday night, they were over at Gloucester watching the Gloucester game, and that was one of the weirdest games I have ever seen in my life. That was 21-0, Classical at the half, and Tim, they absolutely overpowered Gloucester. It looked like Gloucester couldn't even stand up to these guys. I mean, physically, okay? And Paul and I were both looking at each other like, whoa, didn't expect this, and didn't expect anything. How do you overcome that kind of strength and speed and quickness? And they did in the second half. They blew Classical away in the second half, but missed that two-point conversion.
Yeah, I was actually watching a good portion of that first half on the video.
You're making a lot of noise here. I don't know why.
That's just things rattling around in my head.
No, take it off for a second here. It's on your glasses. That's the trouble. There we go. Okay, try. There we go. Now try it. Just try not to get on your glasses. There you go. Yeah, much better. Much better. So,
And I was watching it. 7-0. So I'm alerting Bill. Okay, 7-0. 14-0. 21. And I was like, oh my God. You know. And that's what it was. It was, you know. And the clarity of the video for people out there who haven't seen the video yet. If you're watching, if you're listening, and the video game is there, turn the video game on, because it's an amazing production. It is so crystal clear.
Jason Vecina does a great job.
Yeah.
Great job. We had Jason Friday night, but we've had Alex Sanfilippo, and of course, Andrew Nicastro runs the whole show, so we're really thrilled with that.
Yeah, it's such a valuable addition to what we do, but all of a sudden, you know, the second half at the Manchester Essex Ipswich game, all of a sudden get a bit more intense, and I didn't have time to keep up with the video.
Well, you had quite a finish,
because we were trying to keep up with. I'll tell you, the last 7 minutes, that was the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible intense finish. And, you know, my hat went out to Manchester Essex. I'm like, oh my God, they had it, and they thought they had it, and they didn't have it, and it was just punch counter punch those last 7 minutes.
Well, you know, and they are. I'm pretty sure the smallest school in the conference in the Cape Ann League. If not, they're damn close to it, and they're 2-2 overall. They've got a tough road to hoe, as does Ipswich, as a matter of fact. But Ipswich is also a small school, and they're both 2-2. So you know, good game, evenly matched. Hamilton Wenham cruising over Amesbury, and I'm trying to see what this weekend's games are with Manchester Essex, and of course I can't find it.
It's not listed. Oh. Not listed.
I don't see Ipswich either. Oh, Ipswich at Amesbury.
That should be a win.
Yeah, so I don't see Manchester Essex.
Maybe they're off.
So, Amesbury is at 0.
Oh, no, there it is, Linfield. Oh,
my. Yeah,
that's
okay.
A tough one.
All right, so there you go. Linfield, 4-0, as usual. Scored 134 points, giving up 32. Good grief. And then you go up to the Northeastern Conference, and you still have 5 schools sitting at 4-0. Danvers, Marblehead, Classical, Swampscott, and English. That's amazing.
Well, the two surprises, of course, everybody at Classical and Lynn English, not known for their quick starts. Danvers and Marblehead, of course, the last couple of years have been really, really strong. But Danvers, I mean, again, 4-0, bringing back only 2 starters, and yet the kids that have stepped in have just said, we're not going to let this down. We're going to keep this thing rolling. And they are just steamrolling people. They have scored 119 points and given up 8 points.
Mm-hmm. And look at Swampscott's.
They're averaging giving up 2 points
there you
a game. That's insane. And Swampscott's averaging giving up 4 points a game.
But they've scored 173.
They're
scoring more than 40 a game.
That's
crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So you've got some big ones this weekend, okay? So we've got Classical at Danvers on Friday night. That will be a big one. Unbeaten, both 4-0. And then the same thing, you guys, are you over there on Saturday or is...
No,
he's with John.
No, Bill and
okay,
John.
Bill and John. On Saturday at 2:30, English and Swampscott, they're both 4-0. So, man, this looks up to... So, that's all we can do. We can only do 2 games this weekend. We can't... I don't think emotionally we can take any more than that.
Well, it's going to be really, really interesting.
Well,
it'll be a great crowd in Swampscott.
And I can't...
If you plan on taking that game in, you're going to want to get there early. It's a beautiful new stadium. They've Bloxwich Field is now turf, and with the speed of Lynn English, it's probably going to be accentuated. Adam was addressing that, how much faster it is playing on the turf field as opposed to playing on grass. That's going to be an extremely interesting game. Went to Salem, we can see Salem getting back in the wind side probably there. Maskenham, Peabody, if you're going to handicap these, you're going to have to go with Masco. Danvers Classical, that's a toss. Marblehead at Malden, that should be a W. St. John's Prep at Catholic Memorial, ooh, that's a coin toss. Ipswich should come out on top. Neshoba Tech, Essex Tech, don't know enough about. Neshoba, nice to see Essex maybe grab into the win column if things go well.
When did we get into the business of handicapping?
I don't know, I just thought I'd just get on the list.
It's funny, because I haven't done that in all the years we've been doing this.
I know, I was just looking at going, okay.
And I won't do it.
Newburyport Triton should be a very, very good game, and then Linfield, Mantis, Essex, that's going to be an uphill climb, with Linfield sitting at 4-0, and only giving up 32 points, as you mentioned. That's going to be a tough road for Manchester. Essex, though, they've scored 105 themselves, so they've shown they can put points on the board. So that could be a very stern test for Linfield.
Well, and in sports, you never say never.
That's right.
All right, so let's take a break.
Any given Saturday.
Yeah, well, or Friday night, I guess. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll check in with our first guest, who is the Ipswich High School football coach.
Low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com. Or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our 3 locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back, and joining us now is Ipswich High School football coach Kevin Fassett. Hey, Coach.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing good. Life is good, and, we got some fall weather. It feels like football now. How'd practice go today?
I thought it went well. I think today we're doing some stuff defensively, and I think, that last win for us helped build some confidence, and, hopefully we can build on that moving forward.
Coach, we did the game Friday night, of course. I know you talked to Bill after the game, and... That had to be a bit of an emotional roller coaster. You came so close on so many opportunities with your passing game, and the ball was just going off the fingertips or through the hands of receivers, and then finally in the fourth quarter it clicked.
Yeah, and to add, I guess, a little insult to injury, we also we fumbled the ball on the one, and we had a high-low at the very, you know, the one-inch mark. So there were multiple scores we didn't capitalize on. So to finally put those away in the fourth quarter, it was pretty satisfying. And, you know, it could have been a really tough loss, too. Obviously, it was pretty close. But we went back and did the math and the yards, and we did have, you know, almost, you know, over 300 yards of offense, and usually that equates to more scoring. But, you know, those mistakes are something we got to, you know, fix moving forward, and the drop passes, like you mentioned.
You know, one of the things that Adam Philpott was in the booth. He had played for Gloucester 2007 to 2010 on those Super Bowl teams, and we were talking about how both teams were moving pretty effectively between the 20s. But once you got to the red zone, there was like a wall there.
Yeah, you know, I think it was my fault too. I was overthinking it, and I got a little too complex with the play calling on offense for us. And I think, you know, and that was some of the problems that, you know, running the split back beer, it's not that complicated. And as a coach, I made it more complicated than I should have. So I'll take blame for that and some of the issues going on. But yeah, both teams did seem to bend and not break. And that can be frustrating at times. And it also is a game changer if you don't put points on the board.
What was the halftime message? Because again, you were down, I think it was 7-0. And so you're in the game. One score put you back in it. And yet things weren't clicking. What was the message?
Well, the biggest thing was, just like before the season started, was our inconsistency was blaring. You know, if a lot of the plays are meant to be, you know, not really mentally taxing, and we were making mental mistakes. You know, and just small things like assignment football and offense we weren't doing. And, you know, if you look at it, we had, and we're looking back on it, I think we had 70 plays of offense, so they're 30-something. So we need to, you know, just make sure that we capitalize more consistently, and that would be the issue. And really just staying focused on the game and playing it one drive at a time and one play at a time.
Kevin, when you look at the film, who do you see that you point out as having a good game when you are telling the kids?
Well, yeah, I think both of our running backs ran hard. Justin Moran, a sophomore, is getting better with the system. I think he did a very good job. Carol Camo and Peter Spinelli were two offensive linemen that I thought were playing a pretty good game, you know, playing both sides of the ball, too. Defensively, they're pretty solid. And, you know, our offensive line did a pretty good job. And, you know, our tight end, Christian Fabry, who in our split back gear scheme is heavily run-dependent, did a great job of helping find some of those gaps and allow our running game to click again between the 20s. So, that's just all games, and it was good.
Moran's only a sophomore, right?
He is. Yep. Justin is only a sophomore, so he's been throwing it nice, and he worked his tail off in the off season. He's one of those guys, a gym rat or a guy that just loves working out all the time, and the fruits of his labor are paying off because, you know, he's been our best running back thus far.
Adam was noting he has great size for a running back. You normally don't see them as tall as he is.
Who is that? I'm sorry.
Adam Philpott was noting during the broadcast how big Moran was, and generally you don't see a lot of running backs with that kind of height.
Yeah, no, he's that's always a huge asset. And again, with this deer system, when we put this in back in January, this is reaching back to playbooks in the 40s. So your conventional offense and your conventional size people, you know, don't always seem the same of what you see on TV. You can have small linemen, you can have bigger backs, and vice versa. And again, it's not mentally taxing, but it's just all about work ethic, and his work ethic is there, and he deserves every positive yard that he's earned.
Kevin, when someone's watching a game, an analyst, a fan, or whatever, the fan can say, oh, the coach shouldn't be overthinking. They're overthinking it. But when a coach says that, how do you determine that? Because in the heat of the moment in the battle, I mean, I'm sure your mind is going at 100 miles an hour with so many different things that you're looking at. So how do you figure that you were overthinking things? Because you brought that up, and I find that that doesn't happen that often when coaches would say that.
Sure. Well, the weirdest thing, or the strangest thing with this offense is if the play keeps working, you're supposed to run the same play over and over and over again. And then coming from a spread background, just getting to know triple option, you know, I was involved with it in college, that when it is working, you keep running the same thing. And sometimes you think the defense is going to take it away, so you try to take that next move, kind of like a chess match, mm-hmm. and you try to counteract that. What happened is I should have stayed with the same play every single time out of the same formation, because that's what you're supposed to do. And that's where I was overthinking myself. So if you run the same play 10 times in a row, mm-hmm. as a play caller, it doesn't seem sound. But if it's working, then you're supposed to keep doing it. I think what happened is I got away from a certain formation of play and a look we liked. I tried counteracting a play to go the other direction, and it was my mistake.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that was the problem. So that's what I meant by overthinking.
Okay.
Just it's strange as a play caller once again to call the same play over and over and over again.
Well, Coach Paul Ingram up in the booth, up in the press box, has said ever since I've known him, and I've known him for many, many years, and he's always said, "Hey, if you have a cannon, fire it." So I guess,
yeah.
I guess that simplifies it a little bit. Kevin, you got Amesbury coming up. So what's the scouting report on them?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we got film on them for the last couple games, and they've been in some tough battles, and they play hard, and they play physical, and it looks like they're well coached, and you know, unfortunately, the score hasn't been in their favor, but. You know, it's just a matter of time before some of those teams click, and you just hope you're not the team that happens on. You know, unfortunately, they haven't had a win yet. You know, they might be struggling in certain aspects, but, you know, so are we. And there's been multiple times, you know, throughout the year where we're putting in the football on the ground so much that it really doesn't matter. I mean, we fumbled the ball, I think, a total of 7 times in 2.5 games. And any time, regardless of records or whatever the case is, you're fumbling the ball that much. There can be problems. So we got to make sure we take care of our business and focus, and then you know, make sure we're prepared for them, because just like every Friday night, anything can happen.
You know, with these conference games, Coach, certainly to win the first one gives you a renewed sense of confidence going into the rest of league play, and then having the opportunity to play Amesbury, a team that's down a little bit right now, and to give yourself 2 wins in confidence before you have to go face a Hamilton Wenham and a Linfield, certainly has to be a real positive for the kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, momentum is everything in any sports. And when you're dealing with kids between the age of 15 and 18 years old, you know, as soon as you get some kind of positive momentum or confidence, rather, the play just gets so much better. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, winning these games are a must. I mean, A, get in the playoffs potentially, and then pull your seed if you do make it. And B, get that momentum, because, again, without us winning back-to-back games this season, like you mentioned, it's tough to get that momentum, and sometimes we're going to be outmatched. And that's the reason why we put in this offense, is because it's supposed to be the ultimate equalizer with size and ability. And that's not a knock on our kids, just certain aspects of who we are might be, you know, a little bit different. So we're trying to adjust to it. So those 2 games winning in a row are going to be huge for us, or at least having an opportunity to play. And we have to play consistently for 4 quarters, because we haven't done that yet this year.
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen, and it'll happen soon, and you got the playoffs coming up down the road, let's hope. Kevin, we appreciate it. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you guys
very much
for your time and everything you guys do.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care. That's Kevin Fassett, who is the Ipswich High School football coach, and they are now at 2-2. Great kid, very young man, tremendous enthusiasm. Well-oiled machine he's got, and I see a tall Glenn Foster's over there. Glenn, did you ever work with Glenn?
No.
Okay, Glenn was at Gloucester High School for a while when I was there, and he was a coach at the high school, and he's state champion lacrosse coach for Ipswich High School, and he's helping out too, and Kevin just doing a great job, so it's great to see 2-2, and of course, our friend over just across the river here, Jeff Hutton, you know, tough loss for him. Those kids play hard, and they've got I don't know, as good a starting 11, I think, as anybody in the Cape Ann League. It's just so hard to match up against these bigger schools.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they went toe-to-toe with Ipswich, and it was just a very intense game there. Those last 7 minutes, I mean, we were in the booth, it was like, what is going to happen next? All of a sudden, you know, those passes that Ipswich was missing on, he managed to connect on a heave down the left sideline. And I thought it was actually intercepted, and the receiver came up with it, and they just used that to springboard and just take the game away from Manchester
Essex. I noticed that Robbie doesn't have his usual 250 yards here, so Ipswich must have played the run game pretty tough.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I mean, they were very, very fast to the ball. Again, there was a lot of action between the 20s early on, and not a whole lot to show for. But fourth quarter, they just decided to get into the end zone on both sides.
All right, you're listening to North Shore Sports Night. We've been doing this for a while, and we're almost approaching the midway point. I think there's a week or maybe 2 weeks to go before we're halfway through it. I don't even know how many games they play, Coach, total. Is it 11 or 12? 11? Mm-hmm. All right, so we're almost there. Fifth week coming up, and I don't know, any surprises that you see so far? It's been tough because of the way this alignment is to see within the league who actually matches up against each other.
Yeah, I think that to everybody, I think Classical and English, both undefeated at this point in the season, playing very good, relatively mistake-free football. Both teams are very well organized. They're fast. They're tackling much better. Their offensive execution obviously is much better than it has been. I'll show you how equal they are. Classical scored 112 points, and English has scored 114.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Can't get much closer than that. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff coming up on North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back, and joining us now is Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. Hey, coach, how you doing?
Great, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. It's exciting. Time of the year, especially with the weather like this. You guys outside today, or were you watching film all day?
No, we had an interesting day with all the holidays and the shuffling around of games. We played last Thursday night, and our JV game was pushed all the way to today, so we had to have a practice for a Thursday game on a Monday where we only had half of our team. So we had a couple of the freshmen filling in. We pulled them from the freshman field and had them, hold shields and whatnot. So, it's been an interesting fall that way, and the way that the days have fallen and the way that our schedule's been, that it's been a challenge to get some of these practices in. But the weather's been great.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Coach, I'm sorry.
Because that had to be a real thrill for the freshmen to come up and work with the varsity, because, like you said, you had to pull them up from another field, and to come up and take the JV players' places for that day to get knocked around by the varsity. You can kind of get your clock clean a little bit here and there, but it has to be a real thrill for them to be there.
Well, it would be a perfect Norman Rockwell painting if I could have shown you the looks on their faces when they knew why I had called them over. their practice had just ended, and I called the three of them over, and they ran, they sprinted over and expecting me to ask them to pick up a bag or something, and then I just said, I need you guys to come in here and help us out with the practice. Looks on their faces was definitely interesting.
Interesting. I'm sure you'll remember that one. Coach, going back to Thursday's game against Beverly, two things in my mind kind of stood out, jumped out. Obviously, number one was the defense, but 1A was the play of Andy Clow, and maybe you could give us a little summary of the week that he had and then the game that he had.
Yeah, Andy's an interesting kid. He's going to be he's going to play football in college. He has tremendous potential as an athlete. I mean, when you're that big, I we keep going back and forth between calling him 6'7 and 6'6, and I believe, honestly, that Andy has told me both himself, too. So it's somewhere in that range. Let's call him 6'6 and a half. But he's about 240 pounds. Andy tore his labrum in his throwing arm, his right arm, last year, very early on in the season, and he played with it. Sophomore year, he was an offensive lineman. He was our left tackle and a defensive tackle. Last year, he played tight end for us, and on varsity, he played tight end and defensive tackle. And in the JV games, because of his athleticism, we started having him take snaps at quarterback, but he never did anything more than play a half of a JV game. So this year, he was all ready to go. He's been recruited by Brown, Harvard, Middlebury, you know, schools like that, and he's all ready to go at tight end. He had a great summer at 7-on-7s. He had a great summer at camps and defensive tackle, too, as well. And, you know, even the colleges were saying, you can't go wrong with this kid because if he's terrible, if he doesn't catch a single ball for us, we'll just move him over and make him a left tackle. So I think the third play of our first game, he tore the labrum in his left arm. And so he can't, you know, there's certain things that he can't do with that arm anymore, but his right arm is healthy. So I had the idea, we were on about our 17th quarterback, and I said to Andy, I said, well, geez, you know, you can run around and you can still throw. I said, you know, any interest in playing quarterback this year? And, you know, he jumped right on it, and he took his first snap at quarterback this year on, you know, Monday afternoon after school of last week for a Thursday game. You know, and we had kind of an interesting week weather-wise, and even in the game it was very windy. So, you know, we didn't really do a whole heck of a lot on offense, but, you know, Andy really ran the offense well and did a really nice job of it under, you know, very, very bizarre circumstances.
Coach, unlike the NFL where you have to report injuries and all that by Wednesday, spring in a 6'6" quarterback on Beverly at game time had to be a little bit of a shock to Coach Morency.
Yeah, you know, I honestly was I was going to call Andrew and let him know on Monday after practice. No, I wasn't. It was awesome.
Because I am going to ask him about it on Wednesday when I talk.
Oh, my God. No,
I wasn't. I remember, you know, it's definitely, you know, that it, by no means was it part of any plan. It was what it was. But at the same time, I can only imagine what my reaction would have been if you know, if Andy had stepped out there at quarterback. You know, he's a big dude, and we, you know, we had a couple of very good performances by our backup quarterbacks or, you know, starting quarterbacks in the games prior to that, but, you know, certainly not physical games. You know, we had guys that made good decisions and made good throws, and but to have a presence in there like Andy come in for the game, you know, just sort of change the dynamics a little bit. And I know that it came as a big surprise because we didn't, you know, up until, I think, honestly, it was Saturday or Sunday before we even asked him if he wanted to do it. Yeah. So, you know, it was really a surprise for a lot of people.
Coach, there were a couple of plays. I couldn't tell if it was an option or if it was, you know, a design for Andy to run. And we didn't know who had the ball half the time on those what looked to be option plays. So can you tell me about those?
Yeah, you know, it's critical you know, we at Marblehead have invented nothing. I've stolen everything that we do from somebody. And, you know, so I don't mean to say that, but it's critical when you're running that type of an offense that the quarterbacks, running backs, whoever's not getting the ball, carry out their fake. And if it's a true read play where we are reading, you know, there's certain things that you tell, you know, the quarterback to do and certain things that you tell the running back to do to make sure that they should give everyone that feeling of, I have no idea who has the ball. You know, we say to our quarterback, for example, you're not doing your fake to fake out the defensive linemen or linebackers that are only a couple of yards away from you when you're doing it. It's for the benefit of the safeties. You know, you're trying to get those safeties to believe you have the ball, to freeze just for that moment or whatever. So it's really critical for the quarterback to carry out his fakes. And Andy did a nice job of carrying out his fakes, which really set up when you do finally pull the ball and run it, then it becomes more difficult. If you have a kid that's just going to hand the ball off, you know, every single time he hands it off,
and just stand there, then the one time he does run with it, your defense is going to have a lot easier mm-hmm. opportunity mm-hmm. to react to it.
He also
it's one of the things that makes the wing tee deadly. You know, Gloucester for years, you have no idea who has the ball. You know, when Beverly was running it with Roger Day, you know, it's just impossible to tell who has the ball. And you know, so we try to get a little bit of that wing tee sort of thing in there. And Andy really brought that the other night and did such a nice job with it.
How did you practice the defense against that? Because it looked like you know, he made some really good decisions when he did option it out.
Yeah, I mean, Beverly played, you know, we've been fortunate the way our schedule went. You know, Beverly played a similar defense to what Peabody did. And so I think our kids, our scout team was comfortable playing, doing what they were doing to defend kind of our option game. And Andy just brings a different element to it. I'll be honest with you, a couple times Andy pulled the ball and then ran it in a direction that I've never seen a quarterback run it before. Like he, you know, the play is designed to go outside, keep the quarterback safe. We don't want him, you know, the running back, for example, is supposed to take the inside zone on one of our plays inside. And then the quarterback, if he does pull it, is going to go more to the outside. And Andy, a couple times, literally followed the quarterback. I'm sorry, followed the tailback right behind mm-hmm. into the A gap. And it worked, and it was successful. You know, we've tried to fix that this week because it's not the way the play is supposed to go. But, you know, to have your quarterback keep the ball and then cut it back like he did a couple of those times is very bizarre to see. But it works, or it did work in those cases. And I think that's what made it look so unusual was that a couple of times when he did it in a very unorthodox way, which, you know, to be fair, 75% of the time will get him killed. But, you know, on that particular evening, not having seen it before, it worked.
Coach, how do you evaluate your team almost halfway through the season here? What kind of marks do you give these kids?
You know, honestly, I give the kids that have been out there and giving it their all, I give them an A because of what they've accomplished with really a banged up squad. I've never been a part of a team that's been this banged up before. And you know, we've had everything this week. Strep throat has hit the team. You know, last week, I mean, beginning of the year it was mono. We had lots of, you know, other various injuries, you know, that knocked kids out for the season. Rash and concussions in the middle of the season. So we've had a lot of different things going on, but I give those kids an A for being out there and doing what they did and getting a W. You know, you got to be happy with that. But if I compare where I thought we would be to where we are, you know, because of the injuries, we haven't been able to really roll out as much stuff as we want. We've had to stay fairly simple, you know, from where we would want to be. But more importantly, you know, we haven't been getting better every week. And you don't have, when it's a consistent group of linemen, I mean, we haven't had the same offensive line out there for a game yet. And they just can't get better. They can't take that step forward week in and week out. And we seem like we take a step back and then we, you know, have to regenerate, rebuild and then bring that group of guys a little bit forward. And then someone else gets hurt. And then switching our center, switching our guards. And so I know a lot of teams deal with it, but it's been hard to say where we are because we're not happy with where we are. We're not where we want to be. You know, I'm really excited to see in a couple weeks, hopefully this week even, you know, where we are when we have our full complement of players and see how all those pieces fit in together. But for the guys that, you know, are guys that are filling in right now and stepping up, they've been great. They've been fantastic. You know, I have a couple kids, a sophomore named Tim Cronin, who has, you know, this kid is maybe 150 pounds soaking wet, and he has moved from on offense from tailback to fullback to our kind of sweeper position on defense. He started at safety. He started at outside linebacker. And he's playing great at all these positions. And, you know, this is a kid that just turned 15 and he's shouldn't be out there at all probably. But, you know, he's been phenomenal. And he's taking the spot of guys that are hurt. And we've had a lot of kids like that. And so for those guys, I give them A's.
Wow, wow. Well, Coach, I hope you've got a lucky rabbit's foot somewhere or shillelagh or a four-leaf clover or something so no more kids get sick because you know, I think it's obviously it's gonna help with all the positional play these kids have had when you do get everybody back. Jim, final thoughts on this week? What's coming up?
The tough thing is trying to put together good practices. You know, unfortunately, Malden is struggling this year. They have some good athletes. They have some kids that can do some nice things. Bill Manchester, their head coach, gave me my first high school coaching job. He hired me when he was at Marblehead as the head coach. He's just a fantastic person, just a great guy. Good coach, won a Super Bowl with Nantucket, and also, I believe, won a Super Bowl up in Maine. When he was up there too, you know, just a good guy. Just a tough situation there right now that they're struggling the way they are, and for our purposes it just makes practice tough. You know, you get the couple of kids that think that they've got it all figured out and that they don't have to put the same kind of effort in this week, and you know, we have to realize that that's probably a group of athletes over in Malden that could, you know, beat us in a street fight or beat us in a flag football game, you know, any day of the week. We need to be prepared on Friday night to play a good group of athletes and just make sure that we take care of our jobs.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the 4-0, and I hope everybody gets healthy. And Jim, thanks for taking the time tonight. We will see you as the season goes on.
Great. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Tim. Thanks,
Rick.
We are very happy to have done the show.
Thanks, Jim. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. See you, Rick. Bye now.
Yep, bye-bye. That's Jim Rudloff, who was the Marblehead football coach. Good God, they're only half healthy.
I was going to say, you know, if all these things are going right with all these different things, why bother to fix it? Just leave it go.
Well, what are you talking
about? Just keep mixing and matching.
And you should have seen when Marty Smith was calling the game, he said, wait a minute, 87 is the quarterback? Because he's got, you know, he's a tight end.
Yeah.
And, oh, my Lord,
well,
Jim.
Can you imagine being a kid like the last sophomore that are talking about 150 pounds playing sweeper and you're on the other team?
Well,
and all of a sudden, the kid, 6'7", comes 240 pounds, comes crashing through
the line
with the ball.
Instead of going outside, he went inside because he could run over some of those kids.
Of
and you know, Beverly's not pansies.
Oh no,
you know,
no, but they'll stand there and stick it. But,
yeah,
but and again, you know, you've got 6'7", 240.
Nearly
Gronk size
at quarterback
coming back, and he's cutting upfield on you.
Yep.
It's like.
And he can run. Yep. It was absurd. He had 100 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, and he ran that offense like he'd been running it all of his life. He ran that option like I couldn't believe. Half the time, I was able to see it because I was watching, and Marty was, you know, doing the play-by-play. It's a little harder because, you know, you're concentrating
right.
on the depth chart and so on. And some of those fakes on the option were just phenomenal. And Jim's right. The whole team carried it out. And then, you know what? I didn't even realize how important that is to carry out the fake, not for the people you're right up against. That's important, of course, initially. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If you're in the defensive backfield or linebacker, if you flinch just for a second, that gives the runner an opportunity. I never even thought of that.
Oh, yeah. It's like receivers who dog it. They're not in the plays, so they take a couple of slow steps down the field and then stop and watch the play where, you know, so the guy covering them, he goes, oh, the hell with you, and he runs, and he runs to where the action is. You know, if you ran down the field, you'd pull him with you, you'd open up something, maybe, you know, for another player. So that's why a lot of criticism, I think, goes out to some of those, you know, NFL receivers who just dog it. If it's not to them, they're dogging it.
Randy Moss.
And they should be criticized.
All right, we'll be back.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District, with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
All right, we're back now with Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan. And coach, congratulations, 4-0, not a bad start.
No, very happy. You know, the kids have worked hard, and, you know, we're real fortunate to be at that spot right now. So, you know, can't do much better. I'm really excited, and, you know, it's a good start to the year.
Tell me a little bit about the Malden game, Coach. Maybe just some of the highlights for your guys.
I think that we played good, fundamental, solid football. Justin Mullaney, our quarterback, got an opportunity to kind of break out a little and throw three touchdown passes, which was great. And we had a bunch of young kids step up, too. We mixed in some of our sophomores and second-team players a little bit earlier, and they came out and they really competed well, and a lot of them made some big plays. So we're really happy with the performance, how the kids conducted themselves. We played hard, and we feel as though we're building a little bit of depth, too, and the young kids stepped up and performed well.
Yeah, Coach Ingram was saying it's not only important for the kids, when you can get the younger kids in, for them to pick up some game experience, but it's also good for practice, the following week, because the kids feel more invested in that. And have you found that, or do you think that's part of what goes on?
Well, I think it's great to give them the opportunity. I think one of the other things, too, it goes hand in hand, is we've got a group of young kids that go on the scout teams, the look teams, that have really, you know, worked really hard this year. And we've been real fortunate at Danvers to have kids that have worked really hard in those groups the last 4 years. So when those kids get an opportunity, they get them better every day in practice, and they get caught on the field, and they show how hard they've worked and the improvement they've made. And the other kids who are sometimes the starters really understand what they do day in, day out to get our team ready on game nights, and they really want to support those kids and really happy when they do well.
Coach, you scored the second most points in the conference, 119 to Swamps. It's absolutely mind-blowing, 173 points. But you've given up 8 points in 4 games. I mean, the level of defensive intensity that these guys are bringing every play is just awesome.
Really happy with that. I'm really happy that kids are playing unselfish, and the biggest reason we've been able to do that is that they've really worked in practice on the fundamentals. We spend a lot of time on both sides of the ball, with individuals, working on the little things, and these kids are invested in that, understand it matters. And when you have all those kids that are unselfish and everyone's playing with good technique and they know what they're doing, you know, you can, you know, you do a good job, and these kids certainly have been doing that.
You know, it would appear that you're forcing teams to play between the 20s and not giving them any opportunities in the red zone.
You know, fortunately, we haven't had too many times they moved the ball down there, but that's also a product of our offense running the ball well. Special teams put us in situations where teams aren't getting the ball at midfield or inside that territory where they can go for it on fourth down and change their mindset of how they call plays. So we've been fortunate to be in positions where we have pretty good field position. So if we go three and out, teams aren't going to go for it. And the kids have, you know, taken that opportunity and done a good job defensively.
Coach, can you mention a kid who that you recognize has played solid and steady, but maybe the fans, Joe Fan, doesn't recognize that? Because, you know, obviously the skill players always get the credit, but is there anybody that you could credit and saying, okay, you've done well?
There's so many kids, especially when you have a good team performance, that do that. A couple that just pop into my head right now is sophomore Wallfield for us, who starts at center and at D-line and has just done a tremendous job for us. We have another freshman start at guard, Cronus, who's doing very, very well. Justin DiDomaso, great job. Andrew Brennan, who's a senior, who's a tough kid, works hard, doing a great job on both sides of the ball. Vargas. Really, we've had almost everyone stepped up across the board and tremendous effort and understanding where they fit. So I feel bad. I'm going to leave a lot of kids that really have done some great things out, but that's a couple of them. It's really been a good group.
Yeah, I always hesitate asking that because I know some coaches don't want to single out a particular kid for a reason. I mean, you know, you got to work with these kids every single day. But then on the other hand, some of these kids don't get any mention at all, you know, and you want to cover it. Coach, your first year as head coach, this is going to be a weird question, but have you had to make any adjustments, let's say, since you got the job, since preseason started, and now, you know, with your everyday practices, any adjustments for you?
You know, it's just try not to spread yourself too thin and make sure you take care of all the details. There's so many things that go into it, and, you know, you have to do a good job of delegating, and it makes it really easy when you have really good people coaching around you, which I'm really fortunate to have. So I think it's just that every day, all those details, the phone calls and things like that, take care of that and don't spread yourself too thin that you're not taking care of the football stuff. But every day is a challenge, and every day, personally, I learned something. So, I'm sure I'm going to have plenty of adjustments to make. But we've been going with it and seeing what works and meeting every week to see how we can do it better as a staff. So we're going to continue to do that.
Okay, let's get to classical.
As compared to Malden, Edward Bazier was probably their biggest threat. And I was so impressed with that kid's speed and ability to get to the outside. But classical is going to bring skilled positions, quarterbacks, receivers, the running backs, the big and strong up front, and on the flip side, and they're not turning it over. And on the flip side, defensively, again, they're big and strong, and they're fast to get to the ball, and they've been really short tackling, which has been one of the big surprises to me this year, having covered classical and Ingalls over the last probably 5 years on Friday nights, is the lack of turnovers and the intensity in their tackling.
I mean, they're fantastic with the athletes in size and speed. And I thought you were just going to talk about their skill position, but if you look at their linemen, they're big, athletic, tough kids as well. So across the board, they're a solid football team. They don't have any flaws. But I think the biggest thing with them, too, is, you know, fundamentally, they're really sound. They work really hard. You can see everything from how the kids line up for special teams, and we go and we scout them, and everyone's taking a knee around the coach. They're all very bought in. I think Coach Vaughn and staff have done a great job over there. And, you know, you see the speed and you see the size and you see all these other things, but really the attention to detail and the fundamentals they're showing and how they're doing things is, you know, one of the top teams in the league. They're doing a great job in every aspect.
And certainly Ridley coming over from St. Mary's and slotting into the quarterback position, 6'3", 215. He can see over the line. He's got great vision. He's got great arm strength. He's not afraid to pull it down and to take off with it on the design runs. I mean, he just executes them so quickly that he gets to that second level. And he's tough to bring down.
Oh, I mean, he's a good athlete. He's got a great arm, and he's bigger than any lineman we have. So, I mean, he's got a lot going for him, and they've got a great system as well with him in there, and he does a great job. And, you know, it's tough to stop when they have so many weapons and they've got a solid line and they're really well coached.
Well, Coach, good luck this week. We'll be there on Friday night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Take care. That is Coach Ryan Nolan, coach of Danvers High School. They are at 4-0, and they will be facing against Lynn Classical and Coach Brian Vaughn. They are 4-0 on Friday night in our broadcast game. And then we got Lynn English at Swampscott, another unbeaten matchup on Saturday. But, Tim, Paul Ingram was mentioning Brian Vaughn, and he was mentioning exactly what Coach Nelson just said there. Coach Nolan, I keep calling Nelson, Coach Nolan, in that that Coach Vaughn has their attention and they're well prepared, but Paul Ingram said they are just so well coached, and he said the same thing, attention to detail for Lynn Classical.
Yeah, the games that I've seen at Classical, I mean, just physically dominating, lateral speed is one of the things impressed me the most.
That front line?
They string it out.
Yep,
their linebackers come up quick. The deep secondary, once they realize the run, they come up and they get contained all the way along the line. They're just not allowing teams to get outside, to get down the sideline. And you're always going to have plays that they get there. But the majority of the time, these guys are just shutting things down at the line of scrimmage, just beyond the line of scrimmage, so that, you know, you're in second and long almost every single opportunity that to get the ball. And it's really good to see, you know, as the West Leonard Classical has gone through they had some good teams, and then they hit a dip, and they struggled, and it was like they couldn't stop making key mistakes. And the same thing with Lynn English. They'd always find a way to make a key mistake at the most critical juncture, and it would result in usually a loss. This year, neither team is making those mistakes, and I've been emphasizing that. They are playing solid, smart, controlled football with speed and with purpose, and their tackling is sure, and their ball security is secure. Mm-hmm. And all those things lead to 4-0 records.
I was impressed, and it was really cool to see the number of Lynn Classical fans and student body that came to Gloucester on Friday night. The stands were packed, and Thursday night, same thing. Beverly and Marblehead, it looked like a Thanksgiving Day game, so people are turning out for these games. But to see Lynn Classical, you know, the student body come up 128 on a Friday night was great.
Well, when your team's winning, it's easy to be that fan. And if they were 0-3, you might not have seen that. But the kids are buying into the team. They're out there. They're supporting their friends. And they're supporting the school. And they're bringing the school pride. You just hope they leave all the other nonsense at home, which obviously has happened. Because we didn't hear of any incidents. Because, we know, there's always levels of bad blood between these teams because of the way that they have played the games in the past. Back and forth.
There was a lot of respect for each other on Friday night. And Gloucester they were really, really disappointed because they drove right downfield. I mean, they scored the first three possessions of the second half. Yeah. They were driving right downfield, and one of the Lynn players, I forget his name, made the save of the night. He made a sack on Matt Smith that was about 20 yards. So Gloucester had a third and 50 for the touchdown. With no time left. So, they do play discipline, and they have a good turnout, and it's just great to see. And you know, I think you guys are who's there Friday night? It's going to be Marty and Bill. And Bill Friday night. Okay, so that's going to be that's going to be a terrific game. No question.
Losses at Saugus on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I had one other thought about Lynn Classical, but let's clean out the attic, Coach. We've got 5 minutes.
Sports-wise, Pats just got to fix the defense. The offense is fine. You score 30 points, you should be able to win a game. Defense has got to find a way. And it's, you know, they've dealt with so-so defensive lines in the past. And it's been the linebackers and the secondary that have solidified, that have come up and made a lot of plays. As long as the defense can hold and slow things down, then the secondary, the linebacker and secondary should be able to come up and make plays. They're not making plays. You've got guys chasing, you know, you got multiple guys chasing one guy, and two or three times during that game. They were wide open receivers. How does that happen on the professional level where guys don't know their assignments? Mm. Okay, and it's the high price spread that's screwing up. The guy who's supposed to be making a difference
did
in the secondary.
Two hands to the face. The second one cost him the game.
Oh yeah. Oh definitely. Definitely. I mean, you knew Carolina had in the back of their mind at that sack. Oh Christ! You got to get Brady.
Oh yeah. Yep.
We got
plenty of time
Brady
left. Field goal is all I needed to win it.
And you have to, you know, give credit where credit is due. Cam Newton made the plays.
Oh, did he?
You
ever?
Know, he made the throws. The guys were open. He got them mm-hmm, the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they had miles of open field to run. I mean, you and I are catching those balls and running another 30 yards.
Well, I think what's disturbing.
You know? But that's the killer. That's what's killing them. The lack of cohesiveness between the linebackers and the secondary. You watch them as plays are lining up, and they're all there shouting. They're moving around. They're tapping it. They're waving arms. And it's like, you never saw that before in a Patriots defense. Everybody went to their position and was set and knew the responsibilities. These guys have, it's like they have no clue.
Well, this has been 4 weeks of this, and it ain't going to get fixed this week because they got to play Thursday night.
You know, and it's a Tampa team that has some confidence coming off of last week, and you got another good young quarterback that likes to sit back there and throw the ball. He's got two really good receivers, and they're looking at that tape and going, okay, let's just copy this game plan and let's do what they did.
And I got to tell you one thing, though. Nitwit Radio again, right? They were saying how bad the Patriots' defense is, and it is, giving up all those points to Houston, which has no offense. What did Houston get yesterday?
Was it 53?
57. And how many touchdowns was Wilson responsible? Deshaun Watson, rather? Five.
Yep.
So they don't have an offense.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up! Oh my God.
Well, you know, yeah. We're going to find out a lot about all our teams this Thursday night. The Pats are on. The Bruins start the season, and the Red Sox open the playoffs.
So yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
It's going to be an interesting evening of channel surfing.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens. And you know, I mean, Brady's Brady. He still looks good.
It's just incredible, but he's
getting pummeled.
He was sacked 15 times, they were saying, all last year. He's been already sacked 13 times this year.
All right.
But at the same time, because he has to throw so much, he's on a pace right now to throw for more yards than any quarterback in history.
Yeah, I know,
If he's still standing at the end of the
only season. Quarterback in history, by the way, to do this twice. 10 touchdowns to start a season, no interceptions, and 1,000 yards. Only guy to do it, and he's done it twice.
And he's pinpoint on most of his throws.
Most.
And this tight spirals, and it's like going like, what 4-year-old is throwing the ball like this?
All right, that's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.